never see a blind man cross the road, trying to make the other side. Ever see a young girl growing old, trying to make herself a bride?
Death is a very personal matter. For those who experience the death of someone who's close to them. But we are all concerned, and I'm here to represent the concern of others. Those of you who knew Tim well, those perhaps who knew him only a little, or those like myself, who did not know the fellow at all, but have been touched directly or indirectly by his life and his passing. Nowadays, with international travel and instant worldwide communications, We are all involved in the life and death of each one of us. This whole world is a community, and Tim was a part of it. Human life is all about caring for each other. And the world we live in, and the creatures with whom we share the earth. Who could have put it better than the Elizabethan poet John Donne when he wrote, "No one is an island entire of itself. Any person's death diminishes me because I'm involved in humankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Let no one fear death, for it is as natural as life, and no one ever experiences death. You have to be alive. Only life itself can be experienced. But with the end does come the heightening, the dignity and pathos of every human life. The appraisal that we will make and the memories we surely have, happy and sad, in the minds of friends and relatives who've been left to live out their own time. This is a sad day. But there is a touch of comfort in it too for us. For though a funeral is a leave-taking, it should be more than that. You know, it should be a celebration of the life and the personality that has been. All living things are subject to death. And we humans, being a part of nature, well, we are no exception. No one who has felt the organic pattern of mortality in nature can but accept his or her own life philosophically, exercising its scope with great gladness, making personal choices of self-commitment day by day until the hour comes to leave. And those who've learned how to live life fully, to the full, have learned also how to die and how to lose. Your very grief is, however, a token of your love. And if your love and concern for Tim is strong enough to grieve, it can also use that strength to grasp the joy of memory. Love, as we well know, why, it is the greatest of human treasures, and of all our memories, the memories of the ones that we have loved and who are now gone from us, they are the ones that we cherish the most, for they have the sweetest poignancy. The comfort of having a son, a brother, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, colleague, any other relationship may be lost. But the comfort and knowledge of having had that relationship with Tim himself, now that is never lost. To compensate for the grief of losing him, we've the joy, the privilege, and the pleasure of knowing him. The joy of which we become especially aware of at this moment, as we fix Tim's living image in our mind, and recall to our memories the very personal qualities that made that man unique. Oh, unique, Tim was a one-off. It is the uniqueness, the separateness of each human life that's the basis of our grief and our bereavement. If you look through the whole world, there is no one like the man you've just lost. But Tim Jacobs, why, he still lives on in your memories. And though no longer a visible partner in your lives, he still lives on in your memories. And he will remain a member of your family, or your social circle, or your work brigade, through the influence he's had upon each one of you here today, and the very special part that Tim has played in your life. So in a way, Tim does live on, through those of you who knew him. And the ripples of his life, the ripples of that life will continue, in both known and unknown ways, from those who've gone on before, with those of us present here today, to those still yet to be born. Tim has moved in the long procession of humankind. He's played his brief part in the great human adventure, the stupendous human drama. Inevitably, though, you will find your world a changed place without Tim, and a poorer one without him. But please, please remember and hold on to this. It will always have been a richer world just because tin was once a vital part of it. Organized religion, you know, played no part in Tim's life, certainly in recent years. And it might have been just inappropriate or hypocritical to have had a religious ceremony for him here this afternoon. But just how do we measure a person's spirituality, the essence of a human being, of any man? You have to mark me among the don't knows. As a humanist, I don't know. Can it be measured by such things as compassion or generosity of spirit, or the many friendships you've made in a 34-year lifespan, or your devotion to your family? Wait a minute, these are some of the criteria we use. Perhaps Tim Jacobs was a believer, but his church was the church of humanity. His life was one well worthy to be called a human being. Tim Jacobs, age 34 years young, too young for us to be here this afternoon attending his funeral service. We genuinely grieve and mourn Tim's passing, and it is right and natural for us to be sad at this time, for the sorrow that we are feeling is but a reflection of the love, the happiness and the intimacy that we've all shared at one time or another with the man we've just lost. In a way too, we are also grieving for ourselves, for we know that our own lives will never ever be the same again without Tim Jacobs. This is a very sad day for us, especially sad because the grief for a young man who has died in such tragic circumstances is always the hardest to bear. When someone like Tim, who was actively, enthusiastically and passionately involved with life, dies, it's such a shock. Even though we've been forewarned, the death of the young always shocks us. And it reminds us of our own mortality, as none of us are mortal. We therefore mourn not only the life that was, but also the life that might have been. We meet here to mourn Tim's death and to celebrate his life. This is a time of sorrow for you who were closest to him, his mum and dad, Anne and Michael, Tim's brother Mark. Tim's departure will awaken wistful memories of happier times, perhaps family holidays together. There may be some sorrow too for the lost opportunity. But you do know that Tim was loved, well loved, and not only by his close family members. I feel sure there is no one here this afternoon who does not feel that somehow their own life has been enriched and enhanced by their having known Tim Jacobs. We'll all miss him terribly. Certainly no one who encountered Tim, either at work or socially, failed to warm to him. Tim got on so well with people. He was a well-liked person and so very helpful to others, which well suited him and his job at Sainsbury's, where he worked as a sales assistant for 8 years. Tim had a great sense of humour and a sense of fun. Enjoyed holidays in Kent at Stirling Millis. Also abroad, he'd been to Florida a couple of times, in Mexico. But the truth of the matter is, Tim was always a homebird. A good son. A credit to his family. Tim also loved his cat Tinkerbell. Now, she was special to him, and she's missing his very presence, even though she was other cats around his parents' home. I must mention that the family want me to thank the very many people who have sent messages of condolence and dozens of cards to them since Tim's death. And it has helped in its own way to know that Tim was so much appreciated by others outside of the family circle. Now, because of the nature of his illness, which first manifested itself some 4.5 years ago in the astonishing, practical and positive way Tim chose to deal with it, which I'm sure every one of you is well aware of, I feel privileged as an outsider to have such an insight into such a brave, humorous, lovely personality, which you have all found in Tim Jacobs. The foresight, the efficiency, the toughness, the determination which Tim showed in his fight against the melanoma, against what proved to be impossible odds, has been a feature of his adult life. Tim continued to live at his own house for the first 2.5 years, undergoing the various treatments on offer to him, interferon, several operations for lymph node removal, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, all the invasive techniques known to doctors who specialise in cancer treatments, and all of which take their toll on the human body. Tim very much appreciated the work of the hospitals that he was attending, the Hallamshire, Northern General, Western Park Hospital. And the family wished me to give public acknowledgement. It's not often you get to thank the National Health Service, but I'm asked to give public acknowledgement and thanks for all their care and love and attention to Tim while he was with them. Might I also say that any donations received in lieu of flowers will be shared with these hospitals for cancer research and patient care in Tim's name and memory. Tim very understandably chose to return to the family home at Cusler for many reasons. Walk, stop and think about. He wanted people around him whom he loved for when things might get really worse. His parents, Anne and Michael, ensured that Tim did indeed find the love and devoted care that he needed within his own family. A place unpressured and comfortable after the difficult times. Even as late as last November, around Christmas, Tim picked up quite a bit following an operation in his liver. Always with a positive hope that that is the one organ in the human body able to regenerate itself cleanly. He certainly picked up because he managed to get to see the Rovers again and to get out and about with his mates, have a few lagers. He was quite determined to be able to stand as the supporting adult and godparent and be godfather to Jessica and Nathan. That was another achievement for him. An achievement. Tim's early death is indeed a tragedy. Not only because he has died so young, but because of the very many positive aspects of his character that perhaps only those closest to him knew about. Now, I can only give you a snapshot of Tim Jacobs, the man you knew and loved so well. And I'm sure that you'll all have your own memories of Tim that you will cherish and continue to share with each other. Be assured, though, that these memories will live on in the hearts and minds of his family and friends for much, much longer than the grief and bewilderment you may be feeling here this afternoon. Remember Tim with joy, not in sorrow. Remember Tim with happiness, for I'm sure he would prefer it that way. I would like to ask Carol Robinson should come forward because it is a contribution.
I just want to say a few words about a very special person. Today has to be a celebration where I remember the good times and look back with laughter at the memories we all shared. Tim lived life to the full, always joking, always caring, and always having time for others. Tim was very much a people person. He loved his job and being around so many people. He cared dearly about all the people he worked with and had a special bond with colleagues in the bread and cake department. And in fact, the only reason some people shopped at Sainsbury's was to see Tim. He had the charisma that would make you want to stop and talk to him. Mind you, sometimes with customers, he was a little bit too truthful. He was working in the beers and wine department when a customer asked him, "Excuse me, could you recommend a good sherry?" Tim's reply being, "Do I look like a person who drinks sherry?" She now shops at Morrison's, but at least he was honest. Tim was always caring. Danny told me on his first day at work, when he sat on his own in the canteen, nervous, this voice shouted over, "Don't sit on your own, mate. Come over here with us." That was Tim, always making friends and thinking of others. Tim loved so many things in life and got so much out of it. He loved his cats, loved his drinks, Stella and Carlin preferably, and he loved his friends and family. Caroline told me that one of his best days out was going to a Robbie Williams concert in Ebworth last year, and having a few drinks, listening to music and being with his friends. With Tim, there were no airs and graces. He told it like it was. If he liked you, he knew it, and if he didn't, he'd tell you. Nothing seemed to bother him. He always looked to the positives. Tim never complained about life and just got on with it. That should be an example to all of us. The last thing I want to say to Tim is simply, thank you for being you.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you. Now, Mark, please.
The first thing I'd like to say is on behalf of myself and my family, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming today. At such a difficult time in our lives, the love and support so many people have given us and will continue to give us the strength we need to carry on with our lives without Tim. Tim was somebody who most of you knew in his later years in life, but not as a child. Growing up with Tim as an older brother, you won't be surprised to hear that his love for life and his love for mischief was as strong when he was 10 years old as it was when he was 30 years old. As the oldest of our group of friends, he often led us into spots of bother, but would soon use his incredible charm to pull us back out again. As I'm sure many of the ladies here will agree, Tim could have charmed for England. The twinkle in his eye, or the cheeky grin when he was out having fun, is something we should always remember as a lasting testament to his warm personality and his concern for others above himself. As Tim's brother, I saw a person who lived life the way he wanted to live it, and nobody, not his parents, his peers, or his friends, could sway him from his convictions. Where most of us would worry about what life throws at us, Tim lived his life on his own terms, and no one can doubt he lived more in his 34 years than most others do in a lifetime. As we reluctantly move on with our lives without Tim, we should remember how he lived his life, and how he would want us to continue with our lives in his absence. For myself, when I'm down and upset, I know he's there alongside me, his endless energy pushing me on. And I know what he would say if he caught me crying over his loss. Be right, mate. We owe it to Tim to remember him not with sorrow and sadness, but with the happiness and joy that he used to touch so many people's lives, as you can see by the amount of people who are here today. He'll live with me for the rest of my life, as I'm sure he will, and everyone else he touched during his time with us. Thanks for the memories, mate. We'll always love you, and we'll never forget you. We love you, brother.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you for both the contributions. It is not an easy thing to do, to face a couple of hundred people in the emotional state you're in and try to speak with a firm voice. It's not easy. What I recommend now is, can you observe just a brief period of silence during which each of you can remember Tim Jacobs as you knew him best in your own personal relationship with him? And anyone of you present, you who have a religious faith, you might like to use the moments for your own private and personal prayers. So I will ask you all to bow your heads while we observe the customary minute silence. Thank you. I have a poem here to read by the Christian writer C.D. Lewis. Some of you may be familiar with it, and yeah, it's quite appropriate for a ceremony such as this. His laughter was better than the birds in the morning. His smile turned the edge of the wind. His memory disarms death and charms the surly grave. Early he went to bed. Too early, we saw his light return. Yet we could not grieve more than a little while, for he lives in the earth around us and laughs from the sky. In love and respect, we remember the life of Timothy, Simon, Jacobs, our friend Tim, and in gratitude, we will frequently recall and remember the human image he has left to us, the person he has been. We are taking leave here of a man who has been both loved and lovable. Here in this last ceremony, immune now to the changes and chances of our mortal world, Tim's body we commit to its natural end, its transformation into the ultimate elements of the universe through the process of fire, itself one of nature's great forces, as for Tim. We are glad he had a rich and rewarding life, but we are saddened at its brevity and the lack of opportunity for some of us to take a personal farewell of him. In love we shall keep the memory of Tim, and now we have each other. Well, this is all we have, but I suggest it's all we need. We are still subject to natural law and chance, but our humanity gives us the power to stand over and against them. We have a measure of understanding, and so we gain some control, we sympathise, and in doing so, we find for ourselves much, much love. It's by our living and loving. That's how we create the values of the world we live in. It is to be hoped you've all derived some comfort from gathering with us here this afternoon. I'm sure the family will draw much strength and comfort from you being able to come and share this simple ceremony with them. They've asked me to invite you all to the Newton in Sprotborough Road for some right refreshments immediately following this service. Now let us go on our way to continue our own experiences in this mysterious but still wonderful world. I'll just invite Mrs. Jacobs up for a moment. Thank you. Please sit just for a few moments more while we listen to some music, which will conclude the service.
Special people change, how many lives are living?